Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and remember, our latest crowdsourcing project is underway. It's called Are You Being Gouged? And in this project, we're asking you to go to your local grocery store and find out the prices of three common food items, milk, lettuce, and beer. Just take a few minutes sometime this week to check out those prices and then report back to our website, WNYC.org, where you can post the results. Here are the exact goods we're looking for, so you know what to check out, and it's the same as what everybody else is looking at. A quart of regular, non-organic whole milk, a head of iceberg lettuce, and a six-pack of 12-ounce Budweiser bottles. Now, this may not be the diet you want to live on for the rest of your life, but you don't have to buy the stuff. Just look at the prices. And if you've already posted and you want to go further, we may have another assignment for some of you later in the week. But if you haven't done it yet, go to your local supermarket or convenience store and just check out the prices of those three items to help compare the best and the worst places to shop in our area for our crowdsourcing project, Are You Being Gouged? And for more details, go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. But you have enough details now to just go out and do it and then come back and post the results. And next week we'll talk about what they mean, all right? So a fare hike for the subways and buses is back in the news. This time, they want to give us a choice. There are two versions, one with almost all fares going up and one with a stiffer increase for some, but a discount for off-peak riders. The MTA is gathering public reaction. They'll officially be doing it in November, I gather, but we thought we would get a head start on that. So if you've seen these descriptions of the different fare hikes in the news, you can call us right now at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post your preference to our website, WNYC.org. And joining me to fill in some of the details is WNYC's Beth Fertig, who's on the transit beat today. Hey, Beth.
Hi, Brian.
So give us the broad outline of the two proposals.
Well, I think it's a little generous of you to say the MTA is giving us a choice. The MTA board will decide in December, and they will take public comment. But I don't know how much that's going to weigh in when they vote on the plan. You know, one must maintain a little level of skepticism here with any public agency.
You didn't hear that little smile in my voice,
yes,
little wink,
yes,
in the eye?
Yes, I saw the wink. Yeah, I heard it. I guess you want me to lay out the two different plans?
Yeah, why not you?
Okay, so it's sort of a little menu of options that they laid out yesterday during the Finance Committee meeting. And what they said is they're considering one option which would be more traditional, sort of tweaking the system. And I should start by saying that under both scenarios, the basic fare would go up to $2.25, a 25-cent increase. The last time the fare went up was in 2005. And so they're saying that we would do this no matter what, raise the basic fare. But we know that most people, about 80-something percent of riders, don't pay the basic fare because they're buying combinations of rides, either on a weekly or a monthly or, you know, a 10-card ride, $10 ride card. So what they're saying is under one option, they would raise the monthly and weekly fares moderately, very, you know, maybe 4%. So instead of $76 a month, you would pay $79 a month. And then, you know, weekly fares and month and other fares would also rise for the bridges and tolls and things like that. But if in the second option, where you start seeing things a little more complicated. So instead of the $76 monthly fare that you get for an unlimited ride, you would pay more. You would pay about $82 a month.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, there's a catch, which is that they're also offering incentives for riders to travel off-peak. So, for example, you could put as little as $6 on a pass, and that would cost you either $2 a ride if you're riding during rush hour or $1.50 if you travel during off-peak, non-rush hour times, and they would program the scanners so that they would know when riders are traveling. And the goal of that is to encourage people to travel off-peak and make the trains less crowded.
All right. So I'm going to take a call from Michelle in Manhattan, who is asking what I consider to be the question about that plan, at least on first blush. Michelle, hi.
Hi.
Go ahead.
So here's my question. I would like to know why they aren't considering lowering the prices during the rush hour peak periods to encourage people not to take their cars into the city and to take mass transit. It seems like they're doing the exact opposite thing that you have even covered on your show when we were talking about congestion pricing, et cetera. So that's my question.
Okay. Let me answer that. First of all, congestion pricing is a separate issue, and there's a panel that's beginning meetings today to talk about that plan. That would not happen until 2009, that they would implement any higher tolls for the East River crossings. That's what you're referring to.
Right, but you see her point,
no,
which is
but
that
not-
if hang on, Michelle, let me just clarify this, and you tell me if I got it right, that if the big push of the city is to get people out of their cars during rush hour, then, yeah, you do it with the stick, with congestion pricing, but then why not also do it with the carrot of making the subways cheaper in the rush hour than in the off-peak, rather than trying to push people to travel off-peak, which pushes them out of mass transit during rush hour?
Well, then, with that, I would have to give you the MTA's reason for the fare hike in the first place, which is they can't afford to keep things the way they are now. Even though they do have a budget surplus this year, that's because of the real estate boom, which many people are speculating will not last forever. And they say that maybe they could afford not to raise fares next year, but they would need to raise them a lot more in 2009. So the MTA is saying we have to raise the fares because, in simple mathematical terms, our pension costs are going up. Our debt service is going up as you have more and more capital projects like the Second Avenue subway. There are some estimates that the MTA is spending something like 20 cents on every dollar for debt service. So there is a point at which they cannot,
right,
you know, avoid raising fares, and they can't cut fares. So unless they got major subsidies from the state, they're going to have to keep raising fares.
Right. But I would be interested in asking them, as I guess Michelle would, have they done a calculation on if they cut fares, does that incur, just like if you cut prices, more people are going to buy your product. And there's some formula by, you know, if you cut prices X amount, then X more people are going to buy your product. And after a point, there's a point of diminishing returns on that kind of
thing. Right. And that's something that the MTA had actually been a little bit fearful about with congestion pricing, was adding
too many people
to the trains, because ridership is already at the highest levels in 35 years, and they reach a point of diminishing returns where they just can't put people on the trains, and then they're going to have to pay more for service, pay more for cleaning, get more trains. So it becomes a whole, you know, set of mathematical challenges. If you increase the ridership, then you also have to meet the demand.
It occurs to me, too, that by moving the debate to the merits of Plan A versus Plan B, the MTA might be trying to draw attention from the fact that there is a fare hike at all.
I don't think there's any getting around that when all of the tabloid headlines say the fare's going up to $2.25. Mm-hmm. But I think they're trying to sort through these options and to find out from the public which is more palatable. Would people, are they ready to go to an off-peak pricing system? Is that sort of some sort of incentive for riders who aren't going to buy the monthly unlimited fares? Is there a way that they can change behavior because they have this problem with crowding during rush hours? We all know that the number 6 train, for example, is just impossible during the morning rush hour. Several lines are, you know, beyond capacity. So this is something that the MTA is taking very seriously, is how to change the flow of demand.
Mark in Westfield, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Hi, I have a very interesting question that just came up from your guest.
We'll be the judge of how interesting the question is, but
okay.
Go ahead.
Here's the deal. I used to live right in the area in 1974, 1975, when the first Second Avenue subway was being built, and they finished construction, and there's a huge tunnel from, I think, 23rd Street all the way down to St. Mark's Place, if I remember correctly, that no one has discussed, and I've tried when your MTA representative is on
uh-huh.
there. No one's discussed it, but there was total chaos in that area, and I remember they said they were going to be renting the space out for file storage after they dropped the subway plans.
Beth, is there a tunnel there? Do you know?
Yes, there is a tunnel there. There are several sections of tunnel that were built for the Second Avenue subway in the 70s, but were never finished because of the fiscal crisis. And the design plans have been altered to reflect what's there and where they need to redesign things a bit. So the first stage of the Second Avenue subway would be completed by 2014, and that's only the uptown stage from 96th Street to connect at 63rd and Lex, and then let people continue west on the Q train tracks. The rest of the project has not been fully funded and would not be continued all the way downtown to Hanover Square unless they got more state and federal funding. It would take another 10 or 20 years.
Do you happen to know if they get as far downtown as 23rd Street?
They go beyond that.
The plans are to go beyond that.
Yes, the plan is to go all the way to Hanover Square in the Wall Street area.
If they get that far, that tunnel would be usable to incorporate. Have they said that?
Yes, part of it would be. Part of it would be for storage.
Does the fare hike go into those kinds of projects, or does the capital budget come from other
capital
sources?
Capital is a separate fund.
Rob in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rob.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
My question was, wouldn't the off-peak pricing really try and speak to the fact that so many of the lines are at capacity now?
Exactly. That's the plan. They want to try to see if they can encourage riders who don't have to take the train during rush hour to have an incentive to take this, you know, what they're calling the bonus plan, where for as little as $6, you could travel for $2 during peak periods or $1.50 off-peak. So for somebody who hasn't bought a monthly unlimited card or a weekly unlimited card and just wants a few rides, maybe they'll think, hey, well, this week I don't have to go to work at 9 in the morning. I'll take a few more rides at, you know, 11 or 12. You know, we don't know yet what the peak hours would be, but they're saying rush hour.
Was there anything like this discount? Was there ever a weekend discount?
Not that
I
recall.
I don't recall it.
There is on the commuter lines, of course, but not on the subways. I don't think they've ever had the power to program something like that.
Rob, you wanted to follow up?
I was just wondering, is any of this going to look to try and increase capacity? I know on the L train with the computerization, they're able to run them a little bit closer.
Yes.
Is this what we're heading towards?
Yes, they are trying to increase capacity that way by adding more trains in the computer programming there's still a driver, there's still a motor person there, but they are hoping to run a few more trains and become more efficient gradually with technology. But there's still no getting around the extra demand, which with congestion pricing would only continue to grow.
So for riders who use the unlimited fare cards, and Rob, thanks for your call, that's about half of all riders, I believe. They would see a bigger increase and no discount for off-peak riding. It's hard to think that would be very popular if half the riders lose out.
Wait, let's go over the math a little bit. Right now, the majority of riders, 80-something percent, either have weekly or monthly cards or buy, you know, $10 gets you 6 rides instead of 5. They do something like that, which is why the average cost in the whole system per ride is something like $1.30. So most New Yorkers who can afford to put down more money are saving money. This jump in the basic fare, by the way, and the reason that critics oppose it is because it hurts the person the most who can't put down very much money up front. So $2.25 is pretty hard for somebody who only has a couple of bucks in their pocket. So then you have to look at, when do you use the system? Right now, if you buy an unlimited card, and let's say it went up to $80, you would break even, you know, after if you're using it twice a day, 7 days a week, that's
before the end of the month.
Definitely, you're breaking even. So, you know, if you use it twice a day and take 60 trips, you're then spending something like $1.38 if you put down $80 for this unlimited card per month. That's obviously cheaper than doing the off-peak savings of $1.50. Even if you buy one of these bonus cards where you could go peak or off-peak, your average ride is going to cost $1.75. So it all depends on how you use the system. The person who's going to travel a lot is still going to benefit from having the unlimited card more than the person who buys that peak, off-peak savings card.
So they're inviting the public to weigh in on which of these two kinds of fare hikes. Is there any way to integrate them so that people who prefer one system can get that and people who prefer the other system can buy in that way?
You want to make it even more complicated, Brian.
Choice. We're all about choice.
I don't know. Well, they're going to have these public hearings, and then maybe we'll see if there's huge demand for off-peak ridership. Maybe they'll weigh that option as well. You know, the MTA is also committed to having a public forum on all kinds of transit issues in November. They're trying to be more open to the public under this new leadership. And they, by the way, there are, for people who say that the state should step in and put more money into mass transit because of the cuts that were made in the 1990s, the MTA says, well, we are asking for more money in next year's budget. We don't know what the state is going to give us, they say. They were asking for about $400 million. So all of these options are going to be weighed in November, and then they'll vote in December, and the fare hike would probably start at the end of February, beginning of March.
In fact, Gene Rushinoff of the Strap Hangers Campaign, the riders' advocacy group, is quoted in the Times today criticizing the MTA for letting the state and city off the hook by not lobbying harder and more publicly for some of that old state and city funding to be restored rather than going right to us, the riders.
Right, and that's the historical issue, is that the chairman of the MTA has always been appointed by the governor. So during the, you know, a years when Governor Pataki was in charge and did not want to put more money into public transit, it was pretty hard for his hand-chosen chairman to say, hey, we want more money. You know, there wasn't going to be much of a push. This time around, the Democratic Governor Elliot Spitzer has chosen a transit advocate, Lee Sander, to head the MTA. He's pushing for more money, too. But again, he's appointed by the governor. There's only so much that you can get and, you know, ask for. But they are saying this time around, we are asking for $400 million next year. We'll see what we can get. But there is no getting around this problem that the MTA is going to need more funds, not just for operating expenses, but for capital projects to expand the system.
All right. So a public comment period begins officially in November on these two fare hike designs. I have a feeling a few people will be saying none of the above along the way. WNYC's Beth Fertig, thanks for explaining it for us.
Sure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.